He said, "John, as I want you to preach on, I don't know and I don't care." And I was waiting for the punchline. So I thought, surely that was not the title. He said, "No, that's the title." I said, "You got to be kidding me." So, you know, I just told him, I said, "Well, I'll do it. So I don't know and I don't care." And I, "Is that enough, Jack?" Jack said he was afraid that I would get up there and just walk off. Now, if I'd been one of those old preachers years ago, I would have. And what a great lesson they would have taught, right? But we live in a more modern-day, sophisticated society today. We can't do that, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe I can. I told Shirley I'll go to make sure I look good up here, so. Ignorance and empathy permeates the church. There are many who want to remain willfully ignorant. And I hope you don't mind me using that word ignorant, and hope you're not offended by it. All of us are ignorant to some degree. I don't know how to build a rocket ship to take you to the moon. And there are many things that I do not know, and on those things, I am ignorant. And on many of those things, I am willfully ignorant because I don't want to know. You know, years ago, I did body work. And I was a pretty good body man. I painted cars and was fairly decent. Made a good living at it. And I quit doing that, of course. Went to preaching. And over the years, I've gotten out of practice. But everybody always comes up and says, "John, can you still do body work?" And I say, "No, I can't." And the reason I can't, I don't tell them, is because I'm willfully ignorant of it now. I don't want to do it, you see. And there's a lot to be said about those who are willfully ignorant of things. Simply means, ignorant means that they don't know about certain things. One time I was using the word ignorant in a lesson, and some elders come up to me later and said, "John, would you quit using the word ignorant? You're going to offend somebody." Well, I thought for a second, maybe you're the ones that need to learn. You know, because some of the things they were saying, they need to learn about those. They were ignorant of some of the things they were saying. But there are many in the church who are willfully ignorant, and there are many who claim to be members of the Lord's church who do not even care about the condition of the church. And it's very, very sad as we look around our society and see what's going on. And then there are those who are content to put their head in the sand like an ostrich. They act as if there's not anything really wrong with those who are trying to destroy the church, and even to the point of being offended if anybody should say anything against those. So don't ever say anything against anybody, because if you do, then you're wrong. And they're offended because of those things. They usually claim something to the effect that they're just misunderstood. Their attitude is that if they see no evil and do not hear any evil, then no evil must exist. But there's only one problem with that. Those who have that attitude have willfully closed their eyes and have willfully shut their ears so that they cannot see and cannot hear any evil. They do not want to see evil. They do not want to hear evil. They want to act as if everything is all right, when in fact it is not all right. And it's time that we as a church wake up and realize that there are grave problems within the church and fix the problems. The problems can be fixed if we get back to sound gospel preaching. If we get back to "Thus saith the Lord," the problems can be overcome and they can be fixed. But it's only by you and I getting back to that we're going to be able to do that. There are many who are ignorant and who don't care who are in the leadership. Elders, deacons, and preachers throughout our land, simply in many places, do not care, and they have fallen into the devil's snare and are being willfully ignorant and have a "I don't care" attitude about what's going on. And those of you who have been worked in there know that to be very, very true. It is a shame when you go around and see other preachers who call themselves preachers who really don't care about what's going on in the church. They don't want to hear anything at all about the issues. They don't hear anything about what's going on. All they want to do is just leave me alone and let me do my work and everything will be all right. And their elders are right in bed with them. That is, they have willfully become ignorant, and they want to remain that way because they do not want to deal with any of the problems. Maybe it gives them a headache. I don't know. But brother, listen, if they don't wake up, they're going to take the church off into apostasy as if it hasn't already happened. And they're going to lose their eternal soul with countless of others who will follow after them. Of course, the Bible says the blind lead the blind, leave them alone, they'll both fall in the ditch. That is their fault. They'll do that if they want to. But, friends, we need to get back and realize that because of the attitudes of leaders, sheep have gone astray. Toward those who have gone astray, there seems to be attitude that it's none of my business what they do. They can do whatever they want to do. It's really none of my business. Matter of fact, one elder said to me this. He said they left on their own accord, and if they want to come back, they know the way. What a good Christian attitude. I'm sure that's exactly what Jesus would say, right? No, Jesus would not say that, would he? As a matter of fact, Jesus said that when one went astray, the 99 were safe, he went after the one and brought him back. And that ought to be the attitude of elders, that ought to be the attitude of preachers, that ought to be the attitude of members of the church, to go and seek and bring those back. Not to have an attitude that I really don't care where they're at. I don't care what they're doing. Think about this for a minute. In the community you live in, and I know this is true because it is true in every community. In the community that you live in, how many people are there who are erring members of the body of Christ? That if we cared about them enough to reach out and bring them back, we would have to build new buildings if they would come back. I'll guarantee you, in every community, it would be the case that we'd all have to build new buildings. Because there are many out there who are lost, and the trouble is, many of us don't care. We don't care. At least we don't care enough to do something about it. To go to them and let them know that we care. To let them know that we love them and want them to come back to the Lord before it's everlasting too late. The Bible is extremely clear that we are to love one another and care one for each other. To look out for each other. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, let brotherly love continue. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them, they're in bonds, as bond with them, and then they suffer adversary as suffering with them, as being in yourself also in the body. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. Now, Brother Tant, years ago, when he was an old preacher, he took Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue, and he preached a lesson on it. The next Sunday, he took it up and preached a lesson on it. The next Sunday, he got up and preached another lesson on it. And, of course, he was getting up in years. And the elders came to him and said, Brother Tant, said, we know you're getting up in years, and you may be getting forgetful. But did you know you preached that sermon 3 times in a row? And he said, yes, I know it. And he said, when you apply that, I'll go to something else. Well, brother, that sermon needs to be preached over and over and over, doesn't it? Let brotherly love continue. We need to reach out to those who are around about us and bring us back to what the Bible says. And so I've got 5 things that I want to bring to your attention today. 5 points that I hope that will help you to understand that we need to wake up before it's too late. And number one point is this. Some don't care and don't know about what the Bible says. There are many in the church who simply do not care about what the Bible says. They are willfully ignorant about the Word of God. Many in the church don't study the Bible and could care less about what it says. It's attitudes of this nature that destroys the body of Christ. It is imperative that we have a good understanding of the Word of God and make proper application of the same. Those of old became lazy, and because of their laziness and their study of God's Word, they fell because of their unbelief. Hebrews 4, verse 11, the Hebrew writer said, let us labor therefore to enter in the rest, lest any man fall at the same example of unbelief. Those of old fell because of their unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, it says, sin therefore it made the same must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Because they did not believe, because they fell by the wayside, you see. And we need to realize that there are many today who are fallen by the wayside. They don't know and they don't care, and they're falling away from the church. And we need to wake them up to that fact. In the days of Nehemiah, the word of the Lord had been lost to people. And the Bible tells us that Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, read in the book of the law of God distinctively and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And that's what needs to take place today. Now, I know we haven't lost the Bible, at least in word, right? As a matter of fact, we have more Bibles and more access to the Bible than any other generation. Well, I can go on my computer and I can get any kind of Bible I want and all kinds of versions of the Bible. The Bibles are plentiful. It's not that we have lost it, but rather it's that we have shut it up. It lies on our coffee tables. It's never opened up and we don't know it. Why was it that those of old knew the book? It's because they picked it up and read it and studied it. And they knew the book. They knew what the Bible said. They knew how to defend the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And we need to get back there as well. To leave off some of the things that we're doing today and get back to studying God's Word. Because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves in the same situation that those in Nehemiah's day were, that we will not know where the Word is. Because it will be closed to our minds. And brethren, whether you believe it or not, we could slip back into the dark ages as far as it comes to enlightenment about the Word of God if we're not careful. Many already have. And many will follow there if we don't wake them up. The Lord said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, that He had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And it wasn't that there wasn't any truth. It's just that there wasn't any truth in the land. Truth has always been there. It's just they had become willfully ignorant of the truth and had no knowledge of the Word of God. They ignored the Word of God and went astray. And because of this, the Lord promised a curse upon the people. In Hosea 4, verse 6, He said, "That My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." He said unto them, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to Me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children." Friends, if we forget the law of God today, God will forget our children as well, and our grandchildren, and on it'll go. The buck stops here, as the old saying is, right? It's got to start with me, right? I've got to get back to the Word of God, studying God's Word, and preach it from the pulpit, and letting people know about the Word of God. And quit telling jokes, and being humorous, and being funny, and giggly. That's for someplace else. Not for this pulpit. Not for here. I want to hear the Word of God preached. And that's what people need. And I can tell you this. When the Word of God is preached, people respond. They respond. Now, some may respond in a negative way, but people respond. And churches will grow when the Word is preached. Who was it? Marvin Phillips. One time, not too many years ago, I don't know if he ever did this, but not too many years ago, his congregation was dwindling so much because of all the games and playing and all the nonsense that was going on there that he made the statement, "I'm going to have to go back and drag some of my old sermons out so the church can grow again." Isn't that a shame? For a man to say, "I'm going to have to go back and, in essence, drag out the Bible so the church can grow." I don't think he did so, but nonetheless, he was right. That's what needs to take place. And that's what needs to take place in so many places. The Lord will reject us as He rejected His own chosen generation. There in the Old Testament, God chose the children of Israel. Out of all the other land, all the other people, God chose Israel amongst all others and made them a special people, a holy nation, a priesthood. And then they fell by the wayside. Jude calls us to remember. And Jude calls us and says, "I want you to go back and remember the children of Israel, and how that because of unbelief, God destroyed them," Jude verse 5. And then he reminds us of the angels who kept not their first estate, Jude verse 6. Then he reminds us of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around about them who fell by the wayside and God destroyed, Jude verse 7. And then he brings it to conclusion in Beth and says this, that if you don't follow me, then he says, you will fall by the wayside too, and I will deal with you just like I did with them. He was saying, if you think you're so great, if you think you're so important that you cannot fall, go back and look at my children of Israel. Go back and look at the angels who left their first estate. Go back and look at Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them, and then tell me you're so great that you can't fall. God says you will fall because of unbelief. And we need to wake up and realize what's going on today. And get back to where we need to be at. It's time the church gets back to the fundamentals of studying the Word of God. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. To study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Brethren, every person in this room this morning ought to have that verse memorized. And not only memorized, it ought to be something you think about each and every day. Because as you're going down or going back, rather, to the Old Testament, you realize that David said long ago in Psalms 1, verse 1 and 3, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now listen, in the law does he meditate day and night. And because he meditates day and night, the psalmist said that he should be like a tree planted by the waters of rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall not prosper. That is, if he studies God's Word, if he meditates upon God's Word, he is going to be grounded deep where he cannot be moved by every wind of doctrine that comes along. And that's what is needed back today. You know, when the elders don't know the Word of God, they cannot stop the mouths of the unruly, the vain talkers and deceivers who are going from house to house spewing out their false doctrine. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. When we have preachers who are standing in the pulpit who don't know the Word of God and who study things like Zig Ziglar and all this modern day garbage, brethren, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because if the congregation hears that garbage, that's exactly what they'll believe and what they'll take up. So, brethren, we have got to get back to having a love for the truth and a love to do something about the truth and stop having an attitude of, I don't know and I don't care about what the Bible says. We must know and we must care about what the Bible says and then do something about it. Some have the attitude that they don't know and don't care about Bible authority. Now, I've never understood that really, how anybody could come to the conclusion that they could just do what they want to do based upon their own think-so. You know, whatever feels good to me, it ought to be good, right? Well, the Bible doesn't teach that, does it? And how people get that, I don't know. But more and more, we are seeing members of the body of Christ compromise in the area of Bible authority. When asked about authority, they look at you with a bewildered expression as if to ask, what is that? As if it's some new thing. Well, it's not anything new, is it? Bible authority is old as God Himself. It's as old as Christ Himself. It is old and further back than the very beginning of time. God has always had the authority, and we need to get back to realizing what kind of authority He has. Men have rejected the authority of God from the very beginning of time. It was Adam and Eve who rejected His authority in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, they're following. Cain rejected the authority of God when he offered that which God did not command. Genesis chapter 4. Uzzah, when he touched the ark, God smote him because he rejected God's authority in 2 Samuel 6, verse 6 through 7. And, of course, who can forget Nadab and Abihu, who offered up strange fire and far from God come and consumed them because they rejected God's authority, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. They rejected God's authority, friends. And listen, it is said today, and it is today, that if we reject God's authority, He will also reject us. It is imperative that we understand that authority begins with God. Listen, it begins with God. I will say it again. It begins with God and not man or some group of men and not some so-called college or university that puts its name on as a Church of Christ college. I am sad today, and you are too, I know, of the situations that we face today within our so-called Christian colleges. They have apostatized, most of them, and they have taken many of our youth right with them. And that's sad, isn't it? We would think that we could send our youth off to a Christian college to get a better education, and all we have done is send them into the snake pit of the devil. They have gotten in there and they have been polluted. They've come back to our congregations and have helped pollute our congregations, and we are suffering today because of what the Christian colleges have done throughout our land. And it's sad. But they have become, in essence, to Himself, an authority in and of themselves. They think that they're beyond God's authority. They think they can do whatever they want to do and never have to answer to anyone. And those who are sound, who are trying to bring them back, are fighting a battle that is an uphill climb. I hope that they can fight and hope they can bring someone back, but I doubt that they will. Not because I don't think they can, but rather because I don't think those in Christian colleges want to come back. They're where they're at. They like where they're at. Money speaks to them. Power and prestige speaks to them. And that's what they care about more than they do about the truth of God. It is so sad that this has taken place. But Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, verse 12, speaking of the Word, he said, "But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, For he said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The word which Paul preached came from God, not mankind. And Paul said that if anyone else, even an angel from God, preached any other thing to you than which he had preached, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Because he said that the gospel which he preached was not a gospel, but was some other gospel. Friends, there is only one gospel. There is only one faith. Ephesians chapter 4, there's not two or three or four different gospels. There's one. And you and I need to be united upon what the Bible says about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, that all power or authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Christ says that I have been given all authority. All authority has been given in Jesus Christ. He has authority, and therefore we need to look to Him as to what we'll do and what we'll say within the body of Christ. We don't need to be looking to some man-made organization, but rather we need to look back to Jesus Christ and keep our minds on Jesus Christ. We don't need, as some think they need today, who have rejected the authority of God, to have some small, still voices at night that guide them to what to believe and what not to believe. We need to get back to the Bible. What we need to be reminded of is that God has given us all things that we need. If God's given us all things, then we don't need anything else, do we? And Peter said in 2 Peter, chapter 1, in verse 3, that according to His divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Peter said, by inspiration, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Therefore, I don't need, some small, still voice in the night to tell me what the Bible says. And brethren, neither does anyone else. If we've been given all things, then we don't need anything else. We don't need that better felt and told religion. We do not need the Holy Spirit guiding us, directing us in a fashion other than through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has already done His job through the Word of God. We simply need to pick it up and read it and study it and find out what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and then do it. You see? The Spirit uses the Word of God to exercise His power. Paul tells us that he put on the whole armor of God in order to battle the devil. And he states in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is to do battle with, pick up the Word of God. And there you can do battle with the Word of God. What we need to do is to heed the Holy Spirit's warnings and study things which He has already revealed. We need to know these things because in them we have eternal life. But many today have become so entangled with other things that they don't want to know what God's Word is. Many today have become so entangled with entertainment that that's all they've got on their mind. How can we make it fun? How can we make it exciting, you see? Well, friends, it don't have to be exciting. It don't have to be fun to be good, does it? Can we get back to this plain old simple preaching? There's nothing I enjoy better than hearing a gospel preacher preach the plain simple gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's where it's at. And if you're going to convert people to the truth, then you have to quit the games, quit the playing, and preach this. This is what they need. When they were converted on the day of Pentecost, it was because of this. It wasn't because Peter was playing basketball with them. It wasn't because Peter was playing cards with them. It wasn't because he was playing some silly game with them, but rather because he preached the Word of God and convicted their heart. And they were pricked in the heart because of what the Bible said, not because they enjoyed the entertainment of the day, but rather because of what the Bible said. And friends, that's what we need to get back today if we're going to get back and do what God says. Remember those of old in Jeremiah 8, verse 9. It says, if they reject the Word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them then. And remember Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, he said, I know it's not a man that walketh to direct his own footsteps. Come back to the Word of God, to the authority of Jesus Christ, and have authority for all things that you do. And then, friends, we'll rest upon what God says. People sometimes get drifting away, don't they? I remember one occasion someone asked a question, would it be all right for me to take the Lord's Supper on one occasion, one congregation, and then go to another congregation that morning and take it again? Well, of course, I questioned, why would you want to? But several said, well, said they, no, it's really not that big a deal. They couldn't really see any harm in it, you know. And, of course, I had no problem getting up and saying, well, where's your authority for it? Where's your authority for it? There is no authority for it. We're authorized to take the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. That's all. I don't have an example or any Bible command to see where they took it twice on the same day. That is, to, you know, for one, take it one congregation and then go to another congregation and take it again. We had this problem up at Waynesville when I was up there at the fort. Someone wanted to take it out in the fort when we had a service out there, then come in the regular congregation and take it again. And they thought, well, John, it's really not that big a deal. You know what? Let's not make a big deal about it. Well, there's no authority for it. So get back to what the Bible says. And if you get back to what the Bible says, friends, listen, you're safe. You're on good ground. But we start getting away from that, it'll get further and further and further and further away till you wind up some like some of these denominations out here not having the Word of God at all within your ranks. And so we need to get back to doing thus saith the Lord. Some today, of course, don't know and don't care about the church. And that's sad, isn't it? They don't know and don't care about the church. Many today are making compromise of the Lord's body. Many believe that the Church of Christ is just one denomination amongst many. Max Lucado, Reuben Shelley, and others of kindred spirit, and a host of those gospel preachers, so-called gospel preachers, would have us believe the Church of Christ is just a branch on the vine, as denominations have always taught in the past. They've come to accept. They've come full circle back around and say, well, you know, those denominations were right after all. That the branch is just a denomination. But you know what the problem is? It just isn't so. It just isn't right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear what the branch is in John 15, particularly in verse 6. It said, if a man abide not in me, not if a denomination abide not in me, but it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them afar, and they are burned. We must be clear and have a clear understanding and an unshakable love for the Lord's church. We must understand that the Lord's church is the Lord's only means of transportation from this world to the next world. There's not another. Christ does not know anything about denominations in the sense that he never built a denomination. Denominations were built by men, and they rest their authority within man and not within Jesus Christ. And brethren, you and I had better get back to caring and loving the body of Jesus Christ, the church. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I hope that you are not either. Christ did not establish a denomination. Hence, denominations exist without the authority of Jesus Christ, and he said that he would build his church. As Peter stated in 1 Peter, or rather, Matthew 16, verse 18, Christ said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This he did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Not before Pentecost and not after Pentecost did Jesus ever establish any kind of denomination. And therefore, any religious body which came into existence after Acts chapter 2 is a church which Christ did not build, did not establish, and therefore they rest upon authority that is not given to them by Christ. Rather, it's given to them by some men, and they ought to disbanish and run off all churches of that nature. Denominationalism is all man-made. That is, they came from the mind of mere men, and they rest upon men. They are built by men, governed by men, and rest upon the authority of men. And Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men. They don't worship Christ right. They can't, because they're in a man-made denomination, a man-made church. Denominations have been governed by men, and will always be governed by men as long as they stay in that situation that they're in. We need to realize that Christ is the head of the body, the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And we need to get back to holding firm to Christ being the head and staying with him in all things we do. Denominations bring about division. And with all the many different doctrines, they cause men to remain in darkness. Jesus prayed in John the 17th chapter, verses 20-21, that we would all be united. But denominations, they throw that back in his face. And they say, well, that's not really all that important. But now there comes a new twist on it by Max Lucado. and says, well, that's not really what that means. What Christ was really praying about was that all denominations would be united, that we would just get along with people as much as we can. Of course, in his book, On the Grip of Grace, he wrote in there about the good ship fellowship, you see, and about how that fellowship, that ship, in different compartments there are churches who believe that you need the Spirit guiding you a little bit. And in another compartment, there are churches there that believe in once saved, always saved. And in another department over here, there are churches who believe that it's all right to use the instrument. And then there's those churches over here, you know, that believe, and I'm paraphrasing now, but they're the only ones there. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that a man of his caliber would stoop to such ignorance to try to come back around and say that we are just another denomination amongst many denominations, and come back to the Lord's Prayer and say, here's what the Lord meant, that we're just all to get along with each other and love each other because we're all brothers, we're all on the same fellowship ship going to heaven. Well, it sounds like to me what denominations have said for years. And friends, listen, it wasn't true then, and it isn't true today. You know, Christ said in John 17, verse 20, 21, neither pray these for alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe us that thou hast sent me. John 17, verse 20, 21. But notice this, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art to me, and I in thee. Now, who would believe that the Father and the Son would accept each other in diversity? No one would they? But yet that's exactly what Max Lucado and a host of others want us to believe. Because they're lumping everyone in the same ship and saying, here's what Christ wanted. Well, if that's what Christ wanted, then Christ and the Father, they're not in agreement either. But friends, listen, Christ and the Father are in perfect agreement. And they call upon us through His prayer to be in perfect agreement with them. You see, we're in trouble today. There are many people who don't know about these things, and they need to wake up. They need to wake up to realize that there are false teachers amongst us, and that if we don't stop them and put them aside, that they're going to overtake the church and run away with it. So let's wake up and let's realize the great job that we have to do, and love the Lord, love His church with all of our might, and defend the same. Thank you very much.